Good morning. May we start the recording, please? Good morning. I'm Glenn McKnight, Chair of Norello, and I want to deviate from the agenda a slight bit. I'd like to make two announcements, and I've asked a guest to join us today. First of all, I'd like to acknowledge the sad death of Ray Tomlinson. He's the email pioneer that many of us actually still use email, but his contribution is phenomenal. And I was talking to Garth last night, and I'm sure his dad, who is himself a pioneer within his community of Boston, probably knew Ray, probably exchanged bits and bytes, but it's sad that he passed away at a heart attack at 76. The other thing that's very close to our heart is one of our own ALSs, or La Corello ALS, an ISOC chapter, a very strong participant in the technical task force, a person who is a seminal person in Venezuela, Ratma Katira, and I've asked Harold to talk about this incredible event that happened at the ICANN hub. So I'd like to pass over to Harold to give us an update.
Thank you so much. I wish to spread that, and I wish to spread our solidarity with the young group who started the remote hub in Venezuela. This group maintained their active participation during the meet of Technology Task Force yesterday, despite of violence in their on other groups of students in the same university, and that where they was. I, as a LAC member from La Corello, wish express our solidarity on this group. Thank you, Glenn, for this opportunity.
Thank you so much, Harold. I'd like to turn to the other members of the team to if they have any comment.
Thank you, Garth Bruin. Yeah, also yesterday during the forum, we also had a remote participant from Nigeria, and the first time we were unable to hear him. The second time he was reconnected, he began talking about consumers, and that was the only word that came through was consumers, and everything else he said was completely choppy. And I mean, ICANN has made a lot of noise about the importance of these remote hubs, but obviously there are problems here. I mean, and I think that the there's one technical problem in Nigeria. The problem experienced in Venezuela is a lot more serious. But in doing this, we actually see the world as it really is, and we see the internet users as they really are, which I think is actually educational.
Great. Thank you so much. And I'd like to turn to Eduardo. Did you have a comment? Okay. Good.
No comments.
Thank you so much. I don't have the Adigo open, and I'll just want to see if there's anyone from the floor. Is anyone from the Adigo or Adobe have a comment? No? Okay. We're going to move back to our normal agenda. So I'd like to welcome you all. I'd like to turn to the slideshow that we have put together. And this is a great location for us to have our Norello meeting, except for the room. I think a lot of people are having difficulty reaching it, but I want to give you an update from the chair's position and secretary's position since taking over the position at the end of October to the current position. So this is the first part of this discussion is going to be an update on what we've been doing, and I'd like to turn to the next slide. And much of what we've been doing is outreach and engagement. And I'd like to give you an update on our ALSs. I'd like to give you an update on how our crowdfunding applications have been done and what the current state of new memberships are. Okay, so Next slide. So, okay, so currently we have 33 ALSs, and what we did is we called, emailed, called again, emailed again. We tried to reach out to every single ALS to see how we can get them more engaged, encourage their participation. And I think it bore some fruit. We ended up having a pretty good attendance. I think 14 people on our monthly calls, I think, was the average. Sylvia, is that about right? About 14, which I think is pretty impressive. I have to note that there was a lot of people that said they could not make the 3 o'clock call. And in fact, we made a special effort with a doodle poll Sylvia set up where we asked people, can we do another time, perhaps the evening, like what Lacrello does? Harold could address that, and they have a good attendance because it's after work hours. But the general response back was, no, we want to keep it as it is. So currently we have the 3 o'clock slot, but what I might be doing is a short informal call with those who could not make it during the day to keep them in the loop. So in our efforts, and we finally tracked down some of these people, a number of them decided that, you know, after doing an attendance records for the last 2 years, some of these people, including this 7 that I'll mention, were not in attendance and not voting and not participating in working groups. They were not participatory. We didn't kick them out, contrary to what some people were saying in the at-large list. We made a lot of effort to engage them. We asked them to participate, and when they said, no, we do not want to participate, we asked them for an email. We tracked this process through. We documented it in a wiki page. So 7 people have opted out, so we're down to 26. It's sad, some of the organizations which, and I have to contribute Garth to a lot of this work over the 3 years as chair, there were organizations that we really wanted to be involved, but as Garth articulated earlier in the week, after they got in, they found out they don't want to be here. We have a real optics problem in terms of the relevance of ICANN, the relevance of Norello, and really explaining what we do and why we do what we do. So we have 26 ALSs. I'm assuming we're one of the smaller RALOs now, I guess, with 26?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so we will start building that number up, and it starts with the first one. So the next slide, please. Okay, we have new minted Washington D.C., which is the ISOC chapter in D.C., run by David Vorst and Paul Brigner. Some of you may know Paul. I think you know Paul, right? Paul was the regional director with ISOC. Very solid organization. It's so seminal for us. It took about 2 years for me to get them to become an ALS, but now they're on board. They're the ones that do the IGF USA. So I'm through the, as a volunteer with the IGF USA, and so is Judith. We hope to be on a panel. We hope to be spreading the good news. So I think it's one of our strongest bases in the U.S. We've lacked that sort of seminal organization in our repertoire. So that's a good one, and we're going to be looking back at our strategic plan and looking at our areas, and I'll talk about that in the next slide, on which areas we need to reach out to in order to start building the numbers up. But building the numbers up with people who are, you know, based on our taxonomy of interest, that they actually feel welcome and they have a place to go. Joining us as an ALS without joining a working group and other things or being active in policy is sort of redundant. Next slide, please. Okay, so here's the trips. I'm going to San Jose this month, and that's 4 days at the N10. N10 is the premium conference for not-for-profits. It's the tech heads of not-for-profits in the United States. They do some incredible stuff. In fact, staff is going. I think Adam is going. I think two of the people that are involved with the web development are going as well. But I'm usually a speaker at that event, which I don't know if I am, but I usually do a birds of a feather. I do an interview with Chronicle of Philanthropy, and I'm always on the local radio. It's a good show. Particularly, I'm interested in reaching out to First Nations and Indigenous people. And the second group is the people with special needs or disabilities. Second is LaMarie Thompson. She's going to the Global Summit in Vancouver. That'll be, I think, this week. Next one, Alfredo Calderon from ISOC PR will be at the Southern School of Internet Governance in Washington. I'll be joining him, which is not a crop trip, but I hope he doesn't snore because we have to share the room. So I guess I'll find out. I'll have to bring earplugs or something. But I'm helping Olga, who's the organizer of that event, and that's going to be in Washington later this month to April 1st. And then I'll be going to an M-Enabling Economy. That's particularly technology and Internet of Things for people with disabilities. Hopefully I can meet additional organizations that will be involved with us. And last, Dr. John LaPrise of University of Chicago will be going to Personal Democracy in June in New York City. So that rounds up our five trips. I believe we've been one of the railroads that have been active in using our crop trips. And as you notice, these all terminate at the end of June. They really start in September onwards. So the whole issue of June and July becomes an issue because we can't get funding because the budget program, there's no overlap, which is really weird. So it's not a 12-month cycle. So, for example, the IGF USA is not included as a crop trip. So I'm going to that at my own expense, sort of as an example. You know, I don't know how we're going to deal with that, but I think I'm just flagging that as an issue. Okay, special projects, please. Oh, sorry, go
so
ahead.
If that's an issue, how can we fix that? I mean, any ideas?
Thank you, Eduardo Diaz, for the record. I think we need to meet with Dev, who's... I don't know how he sleeps. That guy does so much work. I think Eduardo, you make it in good as an action on, please, Sylvia, that we arrange a meeting and talk about that. The second issue on that is we have to meet with Chris Mondini of Out of Region Idea. I did an application for one of us to go to Aaron in Jamaica, which is in April, and it was denied because it was out of region. If we had a map, you can envision a map, we have our jurisdictions includes those 15 islands way out in the South Pacific, which will never be part of our territory, time zone-wise and geographic reasons and stuff. Meanwhile, we don't include Jamaica in our jurisdiction, but we include Puerto Rico, which we tried to trade Puerto Rico, you know, for Jamaica, but you guys wouldn't go for it. So... as it turns out, Aaron's jurisdiction also includes Bahamas, blah, 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 and Jamaica, and so it's there again. We've worked very hard on this MOU, very hard to really have a relationship with Norello. And you know, we didn't ask for money. We asked for support, which is the key. You ask for money later. So, you know, it's not to say we're moochers, but eventually we'd like to have some money for conferences and whatnot or support for our showcases or whatever. But by not being there is such a major issue for me because you're losing that relationship. The next Aaron trip will be October. The second thing we try to do with Aaron is we try to get a liaison, which Leah Schmelker of ISOC San Francisco with me and, sorry, your friend from Puerto Rico who's another ISOC chap.
Alfredo?
Not Alfredo. Who? Not Alfredo. He was in Montreal with me for Aaron. Yes, Jose Cruz. So the three of us were there, which really good representation, and OG Miltev showed up as well. So we had a really strong Norello contingent there in Montreal, but it's going to be zero in Jamaica. Out of sight, out of mind.
I was going to say that this out-of-region thing, I mean, the whole reason for the crops is to engage people into Narralo, right? So if you engage somebody from Jamaica, it goes to Lacralo.
I'm going to respond to that. 99.9% of the people that are at the Aaron meeting are North American. Okay, any other questions on that? I was babbling a little bit, I'm sorry. Okay, I'll proceed. I'll turn to Judith to talk about the captioning. Okay, Judith, would you like to speak about it? Sorry. Okay, I'll have to speak on behalf of Judith. In FY16, we had a special request for ICANN budget, and this is ALAC as a whole, for real-time captioning up to 3 Adobe Connect working groups, whether they're RALOs, ALAC, or webinars a month. And the money came from the ICANN's core budget. This is a Norello submission, but it came from Norello. And the goal was to gather necessary metrics to illustrate the needs of the captioning. So what Sylvia and I did, we worked on the survey. The survey originally, when we did the first pilot, was the large survey, which was designed for, say, the capacity building webinar. So some of the questions you may have seen probably were a little odd because it was asking quality of the webinar. But besides that, we don't have a... Do we have a link to the survey for everyone to see that? Okay, so yeah, I'm sorry. If you look at the wiki page on the captioning project, we're trying to capture each of we asked the communities, and we were one of the first that did it. And if you look at the quality of the comments, it was astounding. Things that we didn't expect, which was great. So I think the first captioning project, and I think it's the only one, right, Sylvia?
It's the only one so far.
Right? So far, it's the only one, but I think it's proven its merit. So any questions on the captioning project? Sorry, I can't see my any from online. Yeah, please.
I just wanted to congratulate this effort. It's been really a highlight. Our next captioned call will be the AP RALO webinar on March 22nd. And the feedback we received was excellent. It was very useful, especially not only for non-native English speakers, but also for all people that have some problems, and also for people that are from different countries and different accents. So we received really a lot of good feedback, and we will continue. We will have 9 calls throughout April and May, and possibly June. Thank you.
So the purpose here is that if this has very good feedback and so forth, will that happen only during the webinars, or will it happen through the regular calls, or how it's just for webinars?
Yes, this is Sylvia. This is a pilot, and we are already anticipating that it may become a permanent feature. For not only for the webinars, for calls as well. But as a pilot, we are working with a vendor, so we also need to look at the financials. It's expensive, but I think it's worthwhile. So thank you.
Thanks, Celia. The vendor is Captions First. You can look at their website. Fantastic people. About $160 an hour it's costing for Captions First to do the captioning in the Adobe. There's other tools like ReadyTalk that we experimented with the TTF, which does instantaneous translation to different languages. We are trying to keep the door open for the application of the captioning tool in other conferencing platforms. So, but I think it's been from just the initial call, the response back was really quite good. And the cost is really quite minor. As one of the things I didn't realize, some of the people were monitoring, obviously, on their phones, adrenal phones or different things, and some of the people did not hear me. Other people had no problem hearing me, which is really unexpected. And the quality of the captioning was absolutely astounding. In hearing and watching, like, for example, If somebody has a very strong accent, or like, say, Cheryl, who's talking, who actually her, it's not just her Australian English, it's just she goes up and down in her volume, I find. And that's hard to follow for my ear. I think I have a bit of a hearing problem, so I really have a hard time understanding, you know. And it takes a long time for her to get to the point. So that style in reading, and then you can sort of, by watching it, you can actually zoom in on what the issue was. So I think there's, it's not just English as people do not have it as a first language, mm-hmm. but other people who speak different accents and the volume differences. And the other thing that unfortunately our expert on this is not here, she said for countries that have slower bandwidth, which is another huge benefit. So this was, and this whole concept of captioning, whether captioning of videos, captioning of meetings, really came from the inspiration of people like Garth and myself, and I believe Darlene to a degree as well, who were in our, and I think Norella really should take pride of it, and I believe Judith really took this on as a really core idea. And one thing about Judith is she's really purposeful in what she does, and she's taken on this task with real good diligence. So I really give her a lot of credit. So, Garth?
Garth Bruin. A lot of this really just, it came out of a simple curiosity when we met in Toronto several years ago, and we were trying to figure out who wasn't at the table, and we realized that the disabled community was not part of the discussion. And I was curious, very curious, about how blind people experience the internet. How do they use it? How does it serve them? And in actually conducting research, one of the things that came up was that the internet actually owes a lot to a deaf developer named Ken Harenstein, who was instrumental in creating this text-based communication system because he could not use a telephone. And this kind of history is completely lost. And we need to bring it back. We need to put it in the spotlight.
Thank you so much, Garth. Back to you on a question on that. You mentioned this gentleman once before as a main speaker, and I think the whole idea is to elevate this idea within the ICANN ecospace. I think you mentioned him as a speaker to be at one of the... I wonder if this is something we should bring back up again as a speaker within the next ICANN meeting in North America.
Yes, Garth Bruin, absolutely. I mean, I'm still in contact with him regularly, and he has a relationship with Google. So I think if I could probably get his attention, because he's looking for interesting projects. So I think there's a chance there.
You Sylvie, would you mind put that as an action item, please, that follow-up with Garth on
Ken
Harenstein. We'll get the spelling corrected in a minute. Thank you. Back to the next slide, please. The next project is the ebook project. And that myself and Maureen really took this on, and we looked at where we can convert some of the existing material. As you know, if you look any of the material that's done in slideshows and stuff, none of it's hyperlinked. There's no audio files. There's no video files. And we researched a lot of different platforms. And the at-large working group, part one and part two, which were webinars that were done by in the capacity of building webinar sessions, the... very few people attend those meetings, and the idea of the ebook of the actual sessions was to give it sort of a life after the webinar. So we've converted two of these, and you can read them on any tablet. But one of the things, in addition to the of the nine ebooks that we produced, we also did. A book on how to create an ebook. So that is every tool that you would need to create it. Now, I purchased the software. We're still trying to get the unlimited software license from the budget, and there's been back and forth on that. So as an action item, we still need to get this resolved in terms of purchasing and providing to the wider community on how they can actually convert any of their material into an e-book. And Heidi and I have been chatting back and forth on that. But you can talk to Maureen or myself. It's a phenomenal platform, really nice layout. So what we did is we took the notes, the slideshow, and actually produced the book based on the entire presentation. As you know, the slides are only about, 30% of what the presentations are. It's the dialogue, the questions, the back and forth. So it includes not only the ebook, but also the Q&A at the end. So I'll make sure all of you have a link to the, there's each of the links to the thing. We have just been joined by my esteemed colleague,
who got lost.
So if we can turn back to the last slide, please. We're going to turn back to the captioning slideshow. Yeah, just one before. Okay. Judith?
Yes, this is Judith Helsing for the record. Sorry, this complex is extremely difficult. They have rooms in all these corners, so I apologize for being late. I had gotten lost for a while. So on the captioning, in the, as you recall, on the, in FY16 special budget request, we did approve for a pilot for real-time captioning. Our goal is to increase engagement within at large of people for who have accessibility challenges or special needs or any specific needs. And we're looking also to get people in our region who come from either in rural areas or come for areas where bandwidth is extremely limited, youth, places of in schools or others, try to get increased engagements. Also for people whose native language is not English, we have a lot of Hispanics, Puerto Ricans, others who are learning about it, who are coming in from other countries and now living in the U.S., and we want to increase the engagement within ICANN. And so our goal was to work on different ways that we can increase engagement. So this year we have the pilot, and we put it in for fiscal year 17 to continue the pilot in English, but also to expand it to cover French and Spanish, since we've had a couple requests from there for that, and so we're looking at doing that. We did, we just got started late, so we had, in February, we had one meeting. There was a meeting that was supposed to be, a webinar was supposed to be in February. It got moved to the end of March since the AP Rallo group who was doing it had the, all went to their RIR meeting in, with Apricot, and so they couldn't hold it in their February time slot, so they're holding it in March. So that we have two more months for this pilot. It's going to be in April and May. And so what we would like is if you have some meetings that you would like to be under pilot, is to send a note to us or to staff, and then we could add it to the list. And then on the captioning page, which I don't have it right now, but we could put that in the chat of where the criteria are and how you can apply to be in the pilot for your meeting to get covered. And it, right now, specifically at large, but we're hoping that with the necessary metrics we'll get, we can show a need for this for the entire ICANN community. We're hoping the metrics, we've gotten metrics already from one meeting, which were very helpful because the there were a lot of audio challenges during that meeting, but we were able to keep people being engaged because of the captioning that was running. So this is what I think was going to be very helpful to get everyone engaged and keep everyone making sure that they can participate within ICANN.
we go back to, I've put some links in the Adobe chat on some of the books. That's a screen capture of the at-large working group. So I'm not sure if it's possible if we can click on any of those links I gave you. I just want to do a couple of, show you a couple of pages. Not this link, but if you go to the Adobe, you'll see some links I've boarded on the chat. So some of the books I took is Learn About At Large as a Beginner's Guide. I converted that into an ebook. There's other books, other ALS guides, and the IANA functions, the IANA Beginner's Guide, the At Large TTF ebook, and then I have Alfredo's slideshow. I believe it's the very first one. That's on the Internet Day that Eduardo and the very first link I gave you.
This is Eduardo. This is not for the Internet Day. That's most of that is are the presentations we had for an event that we had in February.
Okay.
So in Amor at the Internet, which you know.
Yeah, this will be fine. So thank you. Okay, so if you just click on the arrows on the right, you can download the file. But I just want to show you, or on the upper right-hand side. Yeah, so see, it keeps the format, the PDF format, and you can scroll through the, you can just go through quickly. Visually, it's very appealing. You can set the languages on it. You can, any of the blue is links that you can go right from the page directly. So this was a very simple process, taking the PowerPoint presentation and converting it over. Okay, thank you. Okay, so if anyone's really interested in how to create an ebook, the other link I gave you is convert your content to an ebook is one of the links that I provided, but feel free to contact me. So moving along, it's 11:34, and welcome, Alan. Alan has joined our group as well. Can we go back to the slide, please? Okay, so next, planning for FY17. Okay, so we have a few things on the agenda. We asked for some funding, and perhaps staff can give us an update on where that stands. A General Assembly, and I'll go back to Judith on the sequel on captioning version 2, that she'll talk about that. Tribal ambassadorship, and then the other thing, which is not a financial issue, is the election. Based on history, the nominations open on April 11th. So perhaps if anyone could give us an update on the finances, that'd be great. Are we financed for the General Assembly and captioning and tribal ambassadorship? I know they went through the Finance Committee, and I guess I assume now it goes to ICANN Finance to see if it's approved?
Correct, yes.
Okay.
It has been submitted to the controller.
Okay.
Yes, this is Sylvia for the records. The requests have been submitted to the Finance ICANN controller. So now, dear.
This is Judith Helsing for the record. Sylvia, could you also find out if for some reason it gets moved out of region, or maybe what we could emphasize, we may want to emphasize, if it's possible, to keep the ICANN meeting in October in the region. This is very important, one, for our General Assembly, and also, two, because the Next Gen program is very tied to the region, and this is our only ability to get fellows to get to work with us and grow Navajo, and we've been working. I know Eduardo and Alfredo have been doing a lot of work in universities. Puerto Rico and other groups have been doing work with outreach to universities, and so it's really important that we keep the meeting in the region, and we can understand that maybe things that have to be moved out of Puerto Rico, but if we can keep it in region, then that will one, we could have our General Assembly, and two, we can get our fellowships.
Alan, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. First of all, apologies for being late. I was asked to speak at the Afralo African meeting, and I had to do that first before coming here. I'm not privy to any secret information on what's happening with meeting schedules, but we are talking about a C meeting, which is a large meeting, and there are clearly strong limitations as to where limitations on where it can be held and where you can schedule a meeting on short notice of that size and magnitude, including hotel rooms. I know there is awareness in meeting staff of the desire to keep it within region, not just for these reasons, but for the whole cycle reasons. Of course, then we also have to worry, how do we go back to Puerto Rico if indeed we move it from there, within a reasonable amount of time? So there's arguments for and against staying in the region. You know, if we go out of the region, we can then come back to Puerto Rico a year later or something like we did with Marrakesh. On the other hand, the disadvantages certainly are well known both to us and to the meeting staff. So cross your fingers and hope that some solution is found.
Alan, question is Judith Allison for the record. What will happen to our General Assembly if we do get it approved in the FY17 budget? What will happen when they move it out, if they move it out of region?
My crystal ball is very hazy. We will be meeting with finance staff, and that's a dandy question to ask. But I will point out, in parallel, we are asking for multi-year budgeting to make sure that we can have the five General Assemblies we need between summits within the three-year period. So I'm assuming if it moves out of region, we will be doing everything possible to try to have another meeting in region at the same time. But I do remember that the GA we didn't hold last year was not scheduled to be at an ICANN meeting. So although there are strong advantages to being at an ICANN meeting, there may be other options also as well that we can look at should the meeting disappear, and at this point it hasn't been canceled.
Exactly.
I'm chairing the meeting.
But yeah. One point. Exactly, but I just wanted to make that our things known, and that we gave it up last year for Uralo.
We have a very strong argument for not being ignored this year. Let's put it that way.
Okay, Judith, if you don't mind, since I'm the chair of the meeting, you're more than welcome to chair it if you want to, but just for the sake of the listeners offline, they may think we have a conflict, and we never have a conflict. I'd like to turn to Eduardo, because this General Assembly thing in San Jose is so important, and they've done so much work leading up to this in terms of outreach for the next gen and new fellows. It is so important that all of us should realize the work they've done. And I know, thank you, Judith, for alluding to it, but I want to turn to Eduardo to sort of give a little detail on how much work actually has been done.
Last year, we did plan for this year. So one of the things that we had planned to do, or we are planning to do during this year, and we started in February, was we started talking about internet and the ecosystem. So people start to understanding, all these organizations and so. And then we end up with ICANN. And in this meeting that we have in February, we were able to get somebody from ARIN to come down, and somebody from ISOC to come down. Like, we couldn't get ICANN to come down to talk, so I did, my talk. But basically, it was like a starting point. We have another event going on in May. We're going to gather our membership, and it's going to be a networking event, and we're going to talk about, again, ecosystem, a little bit more. The whole thing that we're doing throughout the year is so if we get ICANN at the end of the year, people can get to the ICANN meeting knowing more than getting there and saying, so what? So I'm reaching, in the meantime, I'm reaching organizations that, there's an organization called the IT Cluster. They have like 700 members of all different type of companies that develop software in Puerto Rico. So I asked them to go to their board of directors meeting to talk about ICANN. In fact, I want to talk to them to become an ALS. eventually. They're a non-profit organization. And as such, there are other organizations, are women organizations that develop and help women in Puerto Rico to become entrepreneurs. So they do that type of thing. I'm reaching to them just, again, to go there and talk to them. I invite them to come to ICANN. And that's what we are doing in the meantime when we have this event. There's another event happening in August. I don't remember what it is, but there is one in June that has to do with education, and we're planning to be there talking about this again. And in August, September. Oh, and then we have in Puerto Rico, last year we did the first Internet Day, which was October 29th, which is the same day that the ICANN meeting starts. So this year we want to do something at the same time, probably in the ICANN meeting or outside the ICANN meeting. Really, this is an event that the government of Puerto Rico recognizes as the Internet Day, so we have like an official day of the Internet Day. And there are many organizations that participate in this event virtually. I mean, they don't actually have it done. They don't have to do it there. And we have a competition for videos, kids sending us videos of why they like the internet, things like that. It's fun. It's going to be fun. So we already started planning for that event. If ICANN doesn't come, then we want to continue doing it, but with a probably different focus. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much. I think we can't underestimate the incredible work that ISOC Puerto Rico has done, and it shows that our long-term planning that our RALO is doing in order to reach out, and this is done without any money. We're not bussing people in across the country. We're working with our local people with local contacts and keeping this cost effective. So I do express concern that it's going to be going to another location, but I do understand that mosquitoes do fly across the Caribbean. So I'm assuming that Puerto Rico would probably be canceled as well, despite what Garth has mentioned. We have West Nile disease and encephalitis, and you can think of the disease of the week to cancel one. Okay, so we got roughly 20 minutes left. We're on schedule. Going on to I just want to mention that the tribal ambassadorship, if it goes on, this has been something we've been championing for a long time on indigenous participation. It's been a really, really hard slug trying to get ICANN realizing that the First Nations should be treated the same way as the 900 fellows that have been treated from developing countries. We finally have one location that will be actually sponsored, and Loris Taylor will be working on that. Elections. I just want to mention a couple of things. We just opened up the page this morning to thanks to Sylvia helping me with the proper link. So that will be we'll be editing that page, and so we'll the nominations will be open on April 11th, but the page will be fixed today for the 16th on who is available. And we had one question on the election, and perhaps Alan, you could help us on this one. Is the NomCom position a 2-year period? Because I know it was an idea before. Is it a 2-year stint now that Eduardo would have it, or he has to go for election again?
The NomCom delegate,
yes.
Those are done annually. So although there is a 2-year limit, a 2-contiguous-year limit, he doesn't need to do it, and we obviously don't need to select him. But it is potentially a 2-year consecutive.
Great, thank you. Okay, we'll put that in the minutes for the document. Okay, so I want to move to the next one. Crop trips FY17. As you can see there, September 1st to June 31st, we have we're pretty good on getting our applications in. They really want 8 weeks. I'll tell you. Everyone comes back to me with problems with constituency travel on this. Whether it's a hotel, whether it's the flights, whether it's the stipend, we have problems. It's an issue, and I know the next slide is issues, but I'm just pointing out that an issue is we can't do anything in July and August. because if we want to do something, it doesn't work. And I'm sure other constituencies have this issue as well. But Tom has expressed interest already, and I think in the Tom has told me which event that is in Pittsburgh.
It's
just once.
City Networks.
National League of Cities in Pittsburgh in November. I correct it. That's the only one that we would have in the process. I'm a little concerned about the timing stuff, so it was suggested by, I believe, Eduardo, that we meet with Robert and Dev to talk about some of the issues on crop. Okay?
Yes, and this is Judith Helsing for the record. And we also, we had signed a MOU with Aaron, and we wanted to use one of the crop. Aaron has scholarships. Our idea originally was that we would have a liaison from Navarro to Aaron. Unfortunately, after talking to Aaron, they're very concerned about perception and how it would be perceived that if they were favoring Navarro, even though we have signed MOU with them. So what they did is they expand the fellowships from 3 to 5, but we have no preference in the fellowships. So we wanted to use one of our crop slots for that, and we reserved it. But the problem we found is that Aaron covers 2 regions. They cover some of La Crallo and some of Navarro. And our request to go to Aaron was denied in crop because it's out of region. And so we also want to take that up with Chris Mondini, Global Stakeholder, how we go about getting exceptions, because in our research, we found other regions had the same issue and were able to get exceptions to go to those events. And so we are looking at that as well.
Thank you. That was half of what I wanted to ask. You said the funding starts for September. Why is July and August ruled out in your mind? I'll tell you. This is a leading question, but please answer.
Okay. I can't answer that. All I can say is when I've brought up issues in July and August, it's out of scope. It's they don't get things kicked into, and I want to know it. It's not clear. It's not written. I don't see that, but I'm just told it anecdotally.
Okay. I would suggest on both issues, we need to escalate. I think you want to do it as through the ALAC, with the power of the ALAC for whatever that might be worth, and not just Naralo. These are both really relevant issues, and we need some clarity. Thank you.
Thank you. Sylvia, would you action item that so we take it up the one more notch?
This is the Aaron and.
Okay, folks, let's move on to, we have 5 minutes each now on issues and other business. Okay, I just want to mention, if, regardless where it is, whether it's in San Jose or in Vancouver or wherever this General Assembly is, if it's in region in October, I actually want to have a discussion on our theme. Any good conference, any general, this is the time to start thinking about what our theme is, what do we want to accomplish at the General Assembly, looking back, what did we accomplish on last ones? So I want to open up the floor to what our theme is, what do we want to accomplish, because we're going to hopefully bring those 26 ALSs to our event. And one of the very minor things is a straw vote on this social event. Last night, I don't know where the money came from, but my gosh, that was an incredible event. I was very envious, but I could only imagine the time to do it and the money to do it. Maybe the king is a nice guy, but I'll tell you, that was just an amazing, amazing, amazing event. I don't think we could even come close to it. So a small intimate cocktail party like Urello did is my personal view, but I want to open up the floor. So
on the mainland night was like a gala, but the presentation that was happening in the front, only one little, you know, the only people on the front were watching it. The rest of the people were networking. Yeah. So I would have done something different.
Yeah, in terms of the spread and both the availability of liquor and the food and the quality of the food and the volume of the food, it surpassed most galas that I've been at. I have no clue where the money came from. My candid answer is don't count on it being replicated real soon. I think the farewell to Fatty's provided access to something outside of our normal range, and I don't know to what extent it was sponsored or I can't provide it the money. Perhaps I should as chair, but I don't. And I wouldn't put the odds really high on seeing it at every meeting.
Garth Brown, it's interesting to see the progression of events, whereas the showcase used to be just very important to at large, and it seems to be increasingly more and more important to ICANN in general, and I think that's a positive step. And what Steve Crocker said about us and also in the public forum was really nice. I am concerned, however, you know, and Fadi has to have his moment, but now we had the CEO was number one, and then the regional celebration was number two on an agenda. You know, and the whole point, I thought, of a showcase was to showcase a region.
In fairness, I do believe that was a decision of AFRALO. So, for whatever reason and for better or worse.
We were at, Alan and I were at the original leaders meeting on Friday night, and I had to acknowledge Aziz, but also Alberto's speech in English was amazing as well. But I don't know what that guy, I don't think Aziz sleeps. I don't know, maybe he has a doppelganger. I just don't understand how this guy did it. And he's put the watermark so high that whatever we do, we can't reach it. It is just astounding, the effort. And they're also doing these NGO meetings every morning at 8 o'clock. Yeah. My God, they're doing incredible stuff. Judith?
Yeah. And I also wanted to compliment Aziz, too, because I also heard that he's also helped arrange some little get visits by different Rallos to different sites. I know AP Rallo said that Aziz was extremely helpful in organizing some activities for them as well that were off-site. So he's sort of gone above and beyond.
Yeah. We've had at-large people involved in the organizing of meetings before. We have never had someone be the organizer like this. So he deserves a lot of credit, and he alone in doing this has increased the visibility of at large, and therefore all of the RALOs, to an extent that probably wouldn't have been possible without it. So, but you're right, I don't know where he gets his energy. And I happen to know, I've known him long enough that I know he's not a kid.
Okay, we talked about the, I assume, based on straw vote, that we're all sort of inclined to look towards a cocktail party versus a showcase. Is that the gist of this conversation then? Let's make it fair, because it's going to be impossible to replicate that showcase based on energy and time and money. The London, as Judith is saying to me, was good, but I'll tell you, because I organized that, that was an incredible amount of work. So I'm hesitant, you know, unless somebody wants to stand up and say, yes, I wanna volunteer on that. So the concept right now, guys, is we have a general assembly coming up. What is the theme? What do you want to accomplish? What's the goal? So that I want to have a few minutes discussion on the general assembly.
You want us to think about that now, or can we submit ideas for later? Yes. What? Yes. Okay. I don't have. Okay. Thank you.
This is Judith Helsing for the record. I think if you have any ideas right now, then talk about them. But if you want to think about it, just think about how we can find a theme that would work well. And I think one of the problems here is that we don't know exactly where it is, and that also usually impacts on the theme. So maybe we have to try to think of a theme that can be done in different places.
Okay, so the I have no idea on what was accomplished in the other General Assemblies, and I'm going to lean on you guys who were at the last Norello General Assembly, what was accomplished? Was it similar to the Norello General Assembly? Is there any guidance you can give to us so we can start thinking through the process and organizing the... Sorry, my opinion is I don't want to replicate Atlas II. That was sort of the artificial questions, and it ended up creating a whole bunch of resolutions that everybody disappeared.
No. But you know, I want to comment on what Glenn was saying, is that we're not... Staff looks at the Atlas II as being five general assemblies, and what we want to focus on is not that. What happened at the last Norvalo General Assembly alone, not ones that are combined with Atlas.
I think the three of you are at the last General Assembly, right? The one in Toronto was the General Assembly? Correct me if I'm wrong. Okay, so maybe, Garth, I'll lean on you to sort of talk about what did you achieve, how did you organize it, is there things you learned from the experience? I haven't read a report on that, so...
Okay. This is Garth Brown. You're asking me about the Toronto one. How I organized it, there was a gentleman named Glenn McKnight who did about 99% of the work. He lives in the area of Toronto, and he was extremely resourceful and useful in terms of work. But that was also... That was also the anniversary of the Raylos, it was the anniversary of Norello in particular, I believe, and so it was kind of a double celebration. We cut a cake with Olivier, who was the chair at that point, and we were celebrating something.
I think it's 10 years, right? Coming up, 10 years is coming up in our October for. And what I saw a picture of the original people who signed the agreement, and I was hoping that's one of the things we want to do is try as many people. In fact, Eduardo, you were in that picture, right? The original signing, and Evan was there. There was Darlene was there. So we would like to get as many people again to recreate that picture. Alan?
Yeah, it was 9 years because 2007, I believe, in the Puerto Rico meeting. The world is changing. Certainly the world at large is changing, and how we're looking at both the summits and GAs is changing. I'm not sure we want to try to replicate what happened in Toronto. I think we really want to think about how can we use the gathering of the people to do something effective, and moreover, to try to make sure that it's something which can be contained in the next few years when they're not seeing each other face to face. We really have to use those gatherings as more than just, forgive me, a party and meeting old friends, and using it as a way to kickstart the work we're doing offline. I have no real ideas on how to do that, but I think that has to be part of our motivation.
Exactly my point, Alan, is that that's why I was, not to be negative on Atlas too, but... we had these high, lofty goals and coming up with some abstract recommendations that we had to come up with implementation strategies. This needs to be more tangible. What are the issues in our community? How do we move forward? How do we motivate our ALSs to be, giving policy, getting involved with working groups, getting active, reaching out? So we need to think this through. So we need to see maybe work in small groups. And then each of the groups come back with some ideas, and we capture those ideas. But I'm hoping that we all are on the same page on the theme. We'll just have to, it gets back to finance. So, Alan, any idea when we'll get the green light and we can start planning this event?
Well, we can start planning it now. We just don't know for sure, absolutely sure. I feel very awkward talking about Puerto Rico and whether we're going to be there with Eduardo here as if it was a completely dispassionate issue. It's not at all. I'm assuming that if a decision is made to move, we're going to have to make that decision moderately soon. And I would presume that it would either be at this meeting or the board has a retreat in Amsterdam sometime or other, I don't remember exactly when, that it will have to be done by then. So I'm hoping we'll hear an announcement moderately soon. It's a difficult decision to make, but sometime we have to make a decision. I suspect it's contingent on being sure they have an alternate place. That becomes a rather... Now, it's not unheard of to cancel one meeting and then try to figure out where we're going, but it would be nice to not do it in that order. So I'm hoping within weeks, maybe days, but I don't have a real clue.
This is Eduardo. I was talking to some of the people in the meeting and staff, and they said that you know, once they finish with Morocco, they're very busy, then they will look into that, and my feeling is will be in less than 4 weeks, because they said that you know, we used supposed to be here last year, and because of the Ebola thing, they got canceled. So, you know, moving a meeting of this size is not simple, because there are contracts in place and things are happening. So, you know, it's not only that, but where to put it, because it's a big meeting. It's not that. Thank you.
Sorry, looks like it's 12:02. We started a couple of minutes late. No one's knocking down the doors, but
people can't figure out where it is.
People are coming in. Okay, I just wanted to circle back to an item that that started this meeting. We deviated from the agenda. Harold, I asked to join us. He gave a report on the raid of the ICANN hub. It was not an attack on ICANN, but it was an attack on our liberties. And I really am upset about it. I'm upset about it that we have to have a strong statement that we protest that. So I don't know, Alan, if you're going to escalate it to an ELAC statement on this issue. Do you have any comments on that?
I just read about it today, and my impression from the very brief reading I did was that it was a raid on the university, and the hub was just essentially peripheral damage because they happened to be there. I don't think it was at all connected with that, but if I'm wrong, please enlighten me.
This is Judith Ellison for the record. It's not directly connected to ICANN. What I think what we're trying to say is that... it's a freedom of speech issue, and that we can understand that it was closed down, but it should not be closed down it should be reopened as soon as possible, or that maybe we can move the hub to a different location so they continue engagement. But I also want to say, I also mentioned it to Daniel Fink, of the GSE, saying the GSE, I would like the GSE to send a letter of support that this is a freedom of speech issue, and that they are listening to these discussions, and it has anything to do with the political issues, and just to raise it, I'm saying this is a freedom of speech issue, and that we stand behind our group in there.
My instinct is to say ICANN is not going to get involved in political issues in individual countries. That's my instinct. I have no control and no knowledge of this particular one. Was this a hub we funded?
Yes.
Okay. So certainly it would be reasonable to say, is there any chance of relocating it somewhere else and getting it reinvigorated in the limited time left?
Right.
More than that, I would be surprised if ICANN will get into the political realm and freedom of speech issues, but again, it's not my call.
Okay, point taken. Any other business, since nobody's knocking down the doors, unless people have to get to another meeting? Anyone else? Anyone else? Okay, last call. Thank you so much. Thank you, the people who are attending it remotely, and our meeting is now in conclusion. Thank you.